ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 So, in the past two classes, maybe third class today, first we saw the introduction and then we saw both the invocations. Before we start any study, first we start with the prayer. We saw the significance of it and everything. And once the teacher and the taught together having prayed, they then get on to the Upanishad. Upanishad is trying to communicate what is not possible to be communicated. Very clearly it is said, many times we have studied, that Brahman, Atman cannot be captured in words or in symbols. So it is a valiant attempt by the teacher to communicate what is not possible to be communicated by words. So, this is the difficulty here. So, therefore, the student has to be well prepared and attentive. Because the subject matter, the discussion here is on Brahman, Atman, etc. In Bhagavad Gita, you will see that there are chapters, many chapters discussing about how to act in this world, you know, how to be successful, how to deal with stress. Those kind of things are also addressed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is both Dharma Shastra and Moksha Shastra. Whereas here it's purely or predominantly very, very high level philosophy. Mainly they talk about Moksha. That's what the student is interested in, nothing else. So here the student is a tremendous adhikari. So, when we get on to the question that the student asks, we will find out how much of contemplation the student has already done. How ready he is. So, only when you become so well prepared, can the knowledge given by the teacher be made one's own. Otherwise, it will remain as just information. So the student very well prepared approaches the guru, and once the guru finds that student who is so well prepared, he starts giving the knowledge when the student asks the question. So the entire Upanishad is in the Q&A format. So the student asks the question and the guru gives the reply. The reply is very cryptic. In fact, in this Upanishad, there are four sections or four parts. Actually, the Upanishad is over in the very first mantra when the Guru answers. First mantra is student asking the question, then the Guru answers. With that, the Upanishad is over. Then the explanation and everything continues. Because the discussion is about, straight about the Atma, nothing else. So the Sishya asks, when he asks the question itself, we will know. How much he knows. In fact, when anybody asks a question, we know how much one knows, how much one doesn't. Till you don't open your mouth, there is a possibility of people misunderstanding that you know many things. But if you start opening your mouth, then you will reveal how much you know, how much you don't know, or how much you don't know. Very often we reveal that. So the Upanishadic student, with all humility, approaches the Guru with well-prepared intellect. Goes and gives the question, and the student, when he asks the question, the guru replies from that level. So first they cater to the highest, and then they slowly, slowly come back to the lower levels. So you see in this Upanishad, the first chapter and the second chapter, or section, whatever you want to call it, little more cryptic. The third and fourth is story. In certain Upanishads, like for example, Tapo Upanishad, initially there is a story. And in the Mundaka Upanishad, in the beginning, the Guru Sishya Parampara is introduced. Then the Sishya, the current Sishya is introduced. Here directly, there is no story, no nothing. Directly the Sishya comes and asks, the Guru answers. The first word that the Sishya uses when he questions is by which the Upanishad itself is known. Because when the Sishya asks, Kena, Kena, the Upanishad is called Kena Upanishad. Kena plus Upanishad becomes Keno Upanishad. It's one of the very famous Upanishads, very cryptic. So with this background, let's get on to the first question that the Sishya asks. Keneshitam patati preshitam manaha. Keneshitam patati preshitam manaha. Kena prana pratama praiti yuktaha. Kena prana pratama praiti yuktaha. Keneshitam vacham imam vadanti. Keneshitam vacham imam vadanti. Chakshashrotram taudevo yunatti. Chakshashrotram taudevo yunatti. Keneshitam patati preshitam manaha. Kena prana pratama praiti yuktaha. Keneshitam vacham imam vadanti. Chakshashrotram taudevo yunatti. So the student is asking, Kena ishitam preshitam manaha patanti. So, by whom? Kena means by whom? By whom willed or desired and directed that the mind alight on objects? Patanti means false. Kena ishitam preshitam manaha. By whom? Force, by whom desired, by whom willed and directed, does the mind fall on the objects, fall on the world, worldly objects. Kena ishitam preshitam manaha patanti. Kena pranaha pratama praiti yuktaha. By whom, again Kena, Pratama Prana he says, by whom does the primeval prana, meaning important, vital, endowed by whom does the primeval prana function? Kena Prana Pratama Praiti Yukta. How is this prana united with the subtle body and the gross body and function? By whom propelled? By whom compelled? By whom forced? By whom? By whom? That's the question. Kena. So, Kena prana pratama praiti yuktaha. Generally the word prana could also be understood as the instrument to smell. So, pratama prana means the breathing. The vital air sheath. Mind means mental sheath and the intellectual sheath combined. Then prana, vital air sheath. By whom will the speech originate? Kena ishitam vacham imam vadanti. Organs of action. Vacha means speech, organ of speech. See, the Upanishads, they have a style of mentioning just one or two, but they mean everything in that category. So when they say vachyam, there are five organs of action. All five organs of action are to be taken, not only organ of speech. So the five organs of action are mentioned here. By whom will the speech originate? How does the organ of action or organs of action function? Who is behind it? By whom compelled, propelled, forced, desired, willed, directed, does the organs of action function? by what spirit indeed directs the eye and ear. Chakshu shlokam kau devaha vilakti. By whom will directed as the eye and ear function. Devaha, the word used here, means divine. Illuminating factor. So by which he means the thing that is illuminating all this should be consciousness. Should be a consciousness. So he is directly asking about consciousness. He is not asking like if you see in the Bhagavad Gita, I am confused, what am I supposed to do? Should I fight or should I keep quiet? He is not asking any such thing. There is no doubt with reference to all that. He is finished with all that. He is directly coming to the point. He has confusion with reference to the consciousness. In our case, we have no idea about it. We have no idea about it. We are seeing this world, experiencing this world, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, feeling, thinking. We are experiencing objects, emotions and thoughts. OEP, that is the world. World is nothing but objects, emotions and thoughts. We are experiencing this with our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, organs of action, mind, intellect, we contact and we experience. When we experience, we are fully involved, lost in what all we experience. Whereas his question is nothing to do with that. He is done with all those things. If you see the question, like I said, the question itself tells how much the student is prepared, how much he knows, how much he doesn't know. Accordingly, the Upanishadic student, the guru also doesn't waste the time of the student. So the question is, mind, the mental sheath, prana, the vital air sheath, then the organs of perception and organs of action. Of course, they function through the body. The annamaya kosha, the pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, and the supporting thing of all this, which is the Anandamaya kosha, the five kosha, the five sheets, we have discussed all this in the Bhagavad Gita class. The Atma is covered as it were by the five sheets. So he is analyzing all that and then he is asking by whom compelled, propelled, desired, does this mind alight on the objects and function? What is behind all this is this question. So, he has been thinking about this, contemplating about it. He has some kind of knots that needs to be removed. That's all. Majority of it is done. The last bit of knot which is there, he wants the help of the guru. That's why we say, of course you need to question. Only through questioning you learn. But before you question, you've got to think about that question, reflect, contemplate, struggle with it. Then you come and ask the question. Only then you will benefit when the guru replies. If you have not done that homework, straight away whatever comes in your mind, you just casually ask. Your question is very superficial. You will not benefit. So here, when you see the student's question, you understand that he has struggled with this. been contemplating on these areas and he wants that thing to be sorted out. So what is he asking? There seems to be something, what he calls as Deva. Devaha. Devaha means divine, illuminator, conscious principle, which seems to be making the mind, mind means mind and intellect, and the pranas, and the organs of action, organs of perception, which finally functions through the body. This conscious principle seems to be there, which, because of which all this is functioning. Which means what? All this per se is jada. Jada means matter. By itself it doesn't have the capacity to function. Like a bulb. Electricity, when it passes through the bulb, then it gives out light. But say the bulb cannot give out light. So that's his question. Today, I am understanding that I understand that I am this personality which includes this body. I'm thinking this body itself is conscious. Or the senses themselves are conscious. The mind themselves are conscious. So his question is in that area. So he's asking, Tena ishitam preshitam manah patanti. What is that conscious principle which is driving this mind to function, the pranas to function, the senses to function, organs of action to function. So, we don't have any such question. He has this question or she has that question. We don't even know who the student is. Because all that is not important. Like Swami Ramakrishna says, message is delivered, kill the messenger. So, straight away the Upanishad comes to the point and the question is introduced. So, mind, before that pranas, before that organs of perception and action. We are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching through our organs of perception. We are contacting this world with our organs of perception and the world. I'm sorry, organs of action. We are thinking they themselves are having the consciousness. So his question is, it seems the consciousness is apart from it. Is it apart from it or is it a part of it? Now when I'm seeing, I'm conscious. When I go to sleep, I'm not conscious. So is this consciousness also a property of this body, mind and intellect, the senses, mind and intellect, or this consciousness, something apart? If it is apart, what is it? How do I find it? What happens when I find it? What is the benefit when I find it? All this to be added in the question. When he says, what is alighting it? Is this, that seems to be a conscious principle. Because per se, this body doesn't seem to be conscious. He's understanding that. That much is understood. This body is jada. Why? Because this body is also made up of what? The pancha mahabhutas. Space, air, fire, water, earth. When you see in the outside world, is the earth conscious? Is the water conscious? Is the fire conscious? Is the air conscious? Is the space conscious? So this mahabhutas are not conscious in itself. It seems to be enough. And this body is made up of that. If this body is made up of that, then that cannot be conscious. And this body also is subject to death. This body is subject to death. And we see, now you may say, how will you know that? You will know that only when you die. But you see the other people, when they are dead, there is no consciousness or awareness in that body. So there is, per se, consciousness is not there in the body. So it's jada. Or you see in sushupti, deep sleep. When you are in deep sleep, you are not at all aware. So from this experience, he concludes that this body doesn't seem to be conscious. But when I'm seeing, hearing, smelling and all, I'm aware, I'm conscious. How are these connected? Are they part of it? The consciousness part of it or apart? I want to know that. So to ask this question, you should be a Vairagi. You should be a Viveki. We discussed all that in the previous classes. Very clear in the head that whatever this world can offer, they are not Nitya Vastu, they are all Anitya Vastu. With Anitya Vastu, I cannot be happy. I am looking for something permanent, Nitya. What it is? So, his mind is not attracted by anything external. Various permutation, combination brings a lot of changes in the world and new things come. We get attracted by it. If you see children, very small kids, 2-year-old, 3-year-old children, when the television is going on, will be glued to it. The constant change, they are glued. We are like that. Glued to all these changes. He is extricated himself, she is extricated herself from this external changes. Going behind and asking this question. Where is this consciousness coming from? Is it part of this body? That means when the body perishes, it's gone? Or it's always there? What is it? That's his question. So, this is jadam. Then you come to the subtle body. See, technically speaking, organs of perception, jnana indriya, organs of action, karma indriya, they are also part of the subtle body. In the Tattva Bodha, which is the first introductory text that we are supposed to study, in that very clearly Adi Shankara explains all this. Gross body, which is called Annamaya Kosha, Pushit, is the product of the food digested by the parents. That body is sustained by the food eaten and grown by the food eaten, matures by the food eaten. And it is food. Now also the mosquitoes feed on the body, bacteria and all of them feed on the body. It is food. Then his ears, his eyes, when he says organs of perception, he don't refer to this. These are called gwalayas. These are external. You see, a blind man also has these gwalayas. So by organs of perception, they don't mean this. They mean the capacity to see, the capacity to hear, which is part of the subtle body. So, the organs of perception and organs of action are part of the subtle body. They are the instrument. When you study the Tattvabodha, you will see that what the Guru explains there is, whatever is gross must have come from the subtle. For example, this phone. This phone is gross. You can see it. You can touch it. Matter. This phone, before it became a phone and in the shape and formed with this function, it was in the conception form. So, if a thing which has come in the gross form from the subtle form, it should have the same property. So if this body is made up of the five elements which are jada, the subtle body from which this gross body has come should have also been made up of the five elements only, but five elements, subtle elements. What technically the words use is tanmatras. Tanmatras means pure elements. So from the pure elements, the subtle body is made. Then the panchikarana process, the modification process happens. And from the modification process, the gross elements happen. And from the gross elements, this gross body is made. So therefore, so the subtle body is mind, intellect, organs of perception and organs of action. This is also jagam. But with the mind I am feeling various emotions, with the intellect I am able to conceive various thoughts, and with my organs of perception I am seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and with my organs of action I am performing action. There seems to be this consciousness function. Suddenly from where it is coming? If it is not there, you can't see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, think, act, nothing. But I'm going through all this. Perceptions, actions, emotions, thoughts. And I'm going through all this. There is this fear, this conscious principle, consciousness. Is it a part of them or is it a part? It keeps coming and going. Are apart. This is his confusion. He is asking from that level. It's not, when you read it superficial, or if you bring the essence of it, he is simply asking, what is behind it all? What is the self? But he has done all the homework. So gross body is jada, subtle body is the instrument. That is also jada. When you say instrument, there must be someone who is using the instrument. Isn't it? Pen is an instrument. You use the pen. The pen is used to write. It doesn't write by itself. There is a user, doer, who is conscious, who is independent. So therefore his question is that doer must be forcing it. So who is that? That's why he is asking those kind of words he is putting in his question. And he used the word devaha, means conscious being. The pen per se is not conscious. So these are the instruments which is for somebody else who is to use those instruments. That instrument itself is not conscious. But today what is my understanding? I am these instruments. This is how I am thinking about me. So, who is that who is using these instruments and making them capable to function? So, that must be Sat or Asat. That is conscious or not conscious. Chetanam or Achetanam. Is it Bhinna or Abhinna? Is it part or not part? That's his question. That consciousness, is that always there or is it something that comes and goes? Or is it a part or not a part? That is this question. So, kena isitam pasati dresitam manaha. Kena prana pratama praiti yuktaha. Kena isitam vacham imam vadanti chakshu shrotram kaudevo yuna. This is this question. Question seems simple, but when we think about it, deeply is asking the question, what is that consciousness? Even scientists are confused. When you think deeply, you will say, I don't know. I don't know. And the requirement of Shastra comes, the requirement of Guru comes, the requirement of science is there. In the external world, similarly, in the internal world, Shastras are there. What is the requirement for science? Science explains to us something. Because our experience seems to be something else. And when science experience, sorry, explains, many times it says it's ulta. This is exactly the problem in the worldly living and contacting with the world also for the human being. From our direct perception it seems the earth is flat. But science explains the earth is not flat. From our direct experience, it seems sun is going and coming. Sun is revolving. Earth is stationary. But science explains it is other way around. So from our experience, what it seems is consciousness is coming and going. I am conscious and I go to sleep, I am not conscious. So this question is asking, therefore to know and make it a certain, what is that? Is that consciousness something that comes and goes? Like sun is coming and going. So we generally say, you know, sun is moving. That's what sun, we also use those words, sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Sun is neither rising nor setting. We are using those words to communicate. Sun rises, sets. But if you understand science, then you know it's neither rising nor setting. Earth is revolving, as a result it is happening. Same understanding has to happen. That's where the Upanishads come. Once that is set right, then everything will be set right. Now for us, everything is ulta. From that ulta, this person is trying to set it right and is asking that question to set. He is having some kind of a doubt. This all that I am experiencing is not correct. There is something I am getting lost. We have more problem. We never ask this question. We go by our experiences. Very few people are like the Upanishad students who question the experience. He is questioning the experience and is seeing. Consciousness seems to manifest. When I see an object, I am aware. So where is that coming from? Is it something that is part of the senses and mind, or is it something else? What is that? That's his question. Some people, without proper reflection, they say that consciousness is a property of the matter. Some people, they say there is nothing else other than matter. Some people humbly they accept, we don't know. And the Upanishadic masters, they answer in affirmative, what it is. So this is the question he is asking. The senses which are basically achetan, how do they become chetana and all this is happening? This is his question. So with this question, once you understand this depth of the question, then we can move on to the answer that the Guru gives. That is even more terse. In fact, the Upanishad is over with his answer, like I said. Not even the second verse fully is required. First line itself is enough. Answer is given. There are a lot more things to be understood in that answer. Let's go to the answer.
Shrotrasya shrotram manaso manoyad. Shrotrasya shrotram manaso manoyad. वाचोह वाचपुंसवु प्राणस्य प्राणः वाचोह वाचपुंसवु प्राणस्य प्राणः चक्षुषश्चक्षुरतिमुच्य धीराः चक्षुषश्चक्षुरतिमुच्य धीराः वेत्यास्मालोकाधमृता भवन्ति वेत्यास्मालोकाधमृता भवन्ति श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रं मनसो मनो वाचोह वाचपुंसवु प्राणस्य प्राणः चक्षुषश्चक्षुरतिमुच्य धीरा वेत्यास्मालोकाधमृता भवन्ति.
The answer to that question Guru gives is Shrotrasya Shrotram. That's all. Answer is over. Shrotrasya Shrotram, answer is over. Then the same thing is said in different ways. What? Shrotrasya Shrotram. Manaso mano, vachoha vachabhum, pranasya pranaha. Shrotrasya shrota means what? Shrotra means ears. Shrotrasya shrota, ear of the ears. So the ear of the ear. And manaso mano. Manas is the mind of the mind. Chakshusha chakshu pranasya prana. Pranasya prana means prana of the prana. and I of the I. That's all the answer. For the question, the answer is over. With this. Then the dhiraha. Dhiraha means the wise person. One who knows this. Having known what is the benefit, result, fruit. What is the phalam of this knowledge? What is the fruit of this knowledge that he says? The wise, having completely freed, having known this, becomes freed and risen above this world, become immortal. This is the benefit. So before we come to the benefit part of it, first is the answer that he gives in Srotasya Srotam has to be understood. So he is asking, what is this consciousness, etc., etc. The Guru is answering in one line, Srotasya Srotam. The same concept, Srotasya Srotam, he repeats Manaso Mano, Vachava Vachavam, Pranasa Pranaka, Chakshusha Chakshu and all that. First understand one, then you understand everything else. The same thing. So, in your experience, what is happening? Your experience is what today? I am conscious. I means this body is conscious. His eyes seems to be conscious. Ear seems to be conscious. Mind seems to be conscious. This is my experience. Like sun is evolving, is my experience. Guru says, that is not how it is. This Srotrasya Srotam. So first he is saying, it is a path, not a path. It is a path, not a part. Consciousness is not a part of this matter. It is a part. And this consciousness pervades the senses and the mind. And once the consciousness pervades the mind and the senses, then these equipments, the instruments, function. So it is the cause for them to function. It is a part and it is always there. It is Satya. It is Chetana Satya. It is not Asat or it is not Achetana. It is Chetana. It is Satya. It is existing. It is always there. Year of the year. Now when he says year of the year, with this ear we hear something. Then what is the function of these ears? To hear. So now I'm lecturing, you are hearing. If you want to capture that consciousness, so this is where the fixer is. This is little, he explains that later on. But the sixer here is hitting the ball to the boundary, completely wipes off everything. Year after year, with this year, what do? We hear. So, you can't capture the consciousness through hearing. You can't go outward and capture, you got to go inward. That's what he's saying. All other knowledge, how do we gain? That is why this instrument itself is called as Jnana Indriya. I don't know what is a mobile phone. So you show me this mobile phone, I see this. Achha, now I see this, I understand. I got the knowledge what a mobile phone is. So, with the Jnana Indriya, I can know this. All that I know is known through the Jnanendriyas and the mind. But this cannot be known like that. So, whatever you are hearing is not going to help you. If you are smart, you will say, thank you very much, sir. Let me quit this class. That's what he is actually saying. In other words, what he is saying is, after hearing this, go back and contemplate. Go backwards. Inwards. This ears is not the real ear. There is, when you go inside, the capacity to hear is there. Which is there in the mind. It's the sense center in the mind. That also is not conscious. That also is not conscious. There is something when you go backwards called the consciousness that is illumining it. Or go backwards. And go outward and get it. Or go inward and get it. Shrotrasya shrota. Ear of the ear. So, this ear is achetan. And inside there is this capacity to hear. That is also achetana. There is something else called chetana tattvam, consciousness. In its presence, it's reflecting on this. This becomes chetanam as it were. And once it becomes chetanam as it were, you are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. Now what is happening is, when you see, hearing, smelling, tasting, you think you are the seer, hearer, smeller, taster, toucher. That's what you think. In English, you use the word hospitable door. You say hospitable door. Door is not hospitable. People who live inside the house, they are hospitable. It's a transferred epithet. Hospitable door. Similarly, in Tamil, we use the word vilakku. Vilakku for the lamp. The darkness is removed. Once the darkness is removed, you come to know of the objects in the room. What does that? Is the light. You are lighting the lamp. In English, you use the word lamp. These are all, I'm purposely using this particular example. Because it's very, very important. In English you say lamp, then you got to light the lamp. In Tamil they say velakku. This makes you know everything around. Means what? When it is lit, it makes everything known. By itself, it doesn't make everything known. When it is lit, it makes everything known. But when it is lit, it is transferred, that knowledge of making everything known, that ability is transferred to this. But really speaking, what is it? It is that light. Are you getting it? The same way, people who are living inside the house are hospitable. But the door is known as hospitable door, transferred everything. So this eyes, ears, mind, everything seems to be making me know everything, but they are not the real principle. What is that? It is that Atma, the consciousness, that is you, not this. It is apart. And that is lending its consciousness to these equipments. And when it lends itself, it pervades these equipments. And then these equipments make you aware of objects. And when this tamasha happens, we get lost. We're all lost. It's happening like this. Even after we study all this, after the class is over, we go back and we get lost. So the who is the real subject? That's the inquiry. Some people think the senses are the real subject. Some people go a little backwards and understand that senses are not the subject, mind is the subject. But Vedanta tells mind also is not the real subject. The real subject is the Atma. And in common parlance we say, soul. Today my understanding is, I have a soul. Or I have a self. No, I am the self. That's what is clarifying here. I am the self that is functioning through this equipment, as it were. So in other words, I am now thinking that consciousness is my property. No, you are the consciousness. These are the instruments through which it functions. It expresses itself. And when it expresses, the nature of the equipments manifests. That's not you. So just like how this confusion has happened in the world, when we see the world, sun coming and going, we think sun is coming and going. But when you probe, you understand, science explains to us, the sun is not coming and going, earth is revolving. Similarly, consciousness is permanent, unchanging. These equipments manifest and unmanifest. This change has to happen here. Without bringing this change, what are you doing? Why my brother is functioning like this? Why my sister is functioning like this? Why my mother-in-law is functioning like this? Why this is functioning like that? Why that is functioning like this? Once I understand this, I correct here. When you watch a movie, there is some back, some kind of a spot on the screen. You're taking a cloth and wiping it, it's not going. Why? Because the spot is not there on the cloth. The spot is there on the lens through which the light is getting projected and projecting the movie. So if you go and wipe the lens, then this spot on the movie theater screen will be gone. Similarly, we are taking ourselves to be this body which is conscious, as it were, now. Just like how the hospitality of the people inside the house is through which the door is known as a hospitable door. The consciousness of your true nature, when it is reflected through this body, mind and intellect, it is looking as if it is conscious. And therefore you think, I am there now, I will not be there after some time. I am dead. Therefore, this birth and death concept comes, this fear comes, all this comes. He wants you to set that right. Once you set that right, then you understand that you are not the one who is coming and going. It is this equipment, instruments, they come and go. When they come and go, the reflected sun comes and goes. So this coming and going is for the reflected self, not for you. So you have now considered the reflected self as yourself. But this is reflected self, and that is the self. Reflected sun as a beginning, reflected sun as an end. The sun doesn't have a beginning, sun doesn't have an end. That's all he thinks. When he says, Shrotrasya Shrotram. This Shrotra needs another Shrotra. Needs what? So, if you see in Swamiji's translation, you would have put it very clear. Ear of the ear. So, the first ear is capital E. Second ear is small e. Capital E refers to the consciousness of the Atma, the spirit, the self. The capital E means consciousness, pure consciousness. Small e means the material equipment. Material equipment doesn't have that. It is taking it from the consciousness, borrowing it from the consciousness and reflecting it. When it is reflecting, the reflected eye comes, shadow. And that shadow is the ego. Various different shadows are there. And you have got this abhimanam now, that you are this, while this is only shadow. This is not the reality. This is a shadow. So this is why you need shastra. Now when you are sitting and listening to this, it seems it's becoming clear. But what is happening when you go out in the world? You have the idea that you are the shadow. You think you are the real person. Somebody calls you monkey or a buffalo. Your understanding is not that I am something else, I am not the shadow. They are taking the shadow to be me and abusing the shadow as monkey and donkey and buffalo. Is this your understanding? No. How dare you call me monkey? Buffalo. So what is your understanding? You are taking the shadow to be yourself. So for this understanding to get established, you should have done lot of purification in you, in preparation. This student here has done all that, and then he approached. So that's why the guru's reply helps him or her. I'm again and again saying him or her because they don't know who it is. They didn't bother to tell who the student is or the guru is. Straight away get to the message. Unnecessary introduction and this and that. That's the whole thing. So this is what he is saying here. Clearly understanding what is the shadow and what is the reality. Today the shadow is taken to be real. The reality is not known. Shweta has asked a question. The consciousness or Atma doesn't go through the experiences since it's apart or untouchable. Only the equipment is living out the experience. But then is not experiencing the affectation. So who is experiencing this? Slowly, slowly you have become an Upanishadic student now. I am telling you that only, that reflected consciousness is experience. Is that okay? Reflected consciousness, ego. Shweta, did you get it?
Yes, but I didn't understand that then, because the Atma is not experiencing, it doesn't go through the experience, it's untouchable, or it's even though the experience comes or goes, it's like a observer. It's not affected by any of the actual
effects. That's what I'm saying. See, take this electric bulb example. When you go to buy the bulb from the shop, is the bulb glowing? Doesn't glow. Electricity is there in your house. Do you see the light? No. But when you bring the bulb and the electricity together, then there is light. Similarly, like you said, Atma per se doesn't experience anything. Body, mind, itself per se also inert. But when they come together, what is happening? The consciousness Atma reflects through this, the reflected self system. That reflected self is this ego, the I, Shweta. Now that Shweta is experiencing, and Shweta is misunderstanding. And to that Shweta, this lecture is given. And when Shweta corrects this understanding, then she doesn't get affected or caught. As long as she is not understood this, she'll continue thinking that she is going through all these things that she's suffering. That fake identity, that ego. Are you getting it?
So the fake identity is comprised of your mind and intellect.
Enlivened by the Atma.
Enlivened.
The shadow.
Without the Atma, it's not alive only. It's not there only.
Pardon?
Because without the Atma, it's not enlivened only. It's not got a, it's not.
Exactly. The combination. The combination is Shweta.
Okay.
The conditioned consciousness. Reflected consciousness. That reflected consciousness goes through all these experiences. And when this reflected consciousness is going through these experiences, it is involved in the world, very few questionnaire, what is happening? When you ask those questions, you say, come to the Bhagavad Gita class and Vedanta class. Then there, it's a laboratory basically, you're sitting and analyzing, then you are understanding all this. And once this understanding is there, it becomes important for you to get established in this understanding. The problem is, you get back to the world. When you get back to the world, that's it. What is their understanding? They are thinking themselves to be the shadow. And the shadow will be given different painting on different days. So those are all needed in the world. And they continue like that. And you get caught and you forget about this and you get lost. That's why you need an environment where you can sit and reflect and establish yourself. That environment is called ashram. Or your own house, if you can make a conducive room, sit down, reflect, then it's possible. Otherwise, it flips. So, who is experiencing? Not Atma, Shweta. Who Shweta? The conditioned consciousness.
Yes, Guruji, thank you.
Yes, sir. Then you hear the same mind of the eye of the eye, prana of the prana. Repeating it in different ways because by constant repetition and reflection, you get established. Otherwise, it flips. Get back to the world, you are completely lost. You are again and again and again, it has to be. Once you are established, then when you go to the world outside, nothing can affect you. Till then, you will get affected. Because you are, now you seem to be understanding. You seem to be understanding, but once you get out, you get lost. they are misunderstanding you to be this reflected consciousness, and they are calling you monkey, donkey, buffalo, or to look beautiful, wonderful. Real intelligence belongs to that Atma. It's what we studied in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's called what? Yoga of Supreme Manifestation, Supreme Glory. Virat, the entire glory that you see in the world, whose glory? The Atma's glory, Vibhuti Yoga. The belongs to Atma. But we are wrongly putting it on the anatma. That's the problem. So there is something called as substance and qualities. No? You make the pots, you know. Clay is the substance. Once you make a pot out of it, you have different paintings, different designs on it. So those are the properties. Substance, subject. What is that? That is Atma. We think Atma is the property. I am the body. I am the body, I am the mind. Atma, the consciousness, is its property. No. He's correcting it. He's saying Atma is the subject, the substance. All these are the properties. This understanding, once it comes, then what happens? You become a dhiraha, wise person. That wise person completely becomes freed from all the wrong understandings. Now you learned or understood yourself to be this body, this mind, this intellect, these organs of perception and action. This is your understanding. That understanding, when it goes, the right understanding comes, we discussed, become Veda. Very rare fellow. One in a million. So that wise person, having completely become freed from the world and affectations. When somebody calls monkey, donkey, buffalo, you understand. They are thinking myself to be the shadow and they are naming me. They are only talking about the shadow, not me. Why should I get affected? Necessary. If you also think you are this, then you will get affected. You become absolutely freed from these limiting factors. You understand that you are not the one who is having a beginning and end. It is the body, mind, intellect which has a beginning and end, not me. I become free from all that problem. And reason about this world, asmat loka. Loka, the word should be here, you see it as world. Meaning this body, you become free from this body and become immortal. The world. As long as your abhimanam is on the body, you won't be free from this world. Once your abhimanam from the body is gone, then you will become free from the world. As long as you think you are this body, the world will have its effect. The heat and cold will affect you. Joy and sorrow will affect you. Honor and dishonor will affect you. But once the abhimanam is the body is gone, then the world cannot affect you. So you become free from the world means you become free from the body. Then you become free from death. Why you become free from death? How you become free from death? You have become free from death because you have become free from birth itself. You are not the one which is born. There is a question of dying. You become immortal. You become changeless. You are not the changing things. You are the changeless reality. That reality, the what? Once I understand that, gain that knowledge, once I realize that, I become free. Till then, I am not free. I am today with this misunderstanding, thinking that I will become free when I amass wealth. Wealth doesn't give me freedom. Wealth only gives me option to suffer or celebrate in this location or some other location. They don't give me freedom. So I look for freedom in the world outside. But the real freedom is knowledge. That knowledge alone sets you free. The benefit of knowledge can only set you free. As long as this misunderstanding persists, you will not be free. So it completely frees you and you rise above. Rise above this and you become immortal. Immortal means no death. Mrita means death. Amrita means one who has no death. Go beyond death. Death is only for the one who is born. When you understood that this born self is not me. Chidabhasa is not me. I am the real self. Then where is the question of affectation? Nothing. As long as I think I am the shadow, then of course the shadow will go. It will be there, it will go. This is why this insecurity, all that is there. Real solution is attained only when you get rid of this problem. This misunderstanding. For misunderstanding to go and real understanding to come, you should be really calm and composed for you to reflect and digest and establish yourself in this. Otherwise you will not. Otherwise you will continue with this misunderstanding. You will not become free. So this knowledge sets you free. Thereafter, wherever you go, nothing can bind you. Nothing can affect you. Nothing will give you stress. Not only that, you having become free, you won't get affected and you may positively affect somebody else. Because in your presence, people get the cheer, the joy, the bliss. You may inspire them also towards the real, not the, leave the shadow and come to the real. Therefore, he says, ear of the ear. Go inward. If you go on reading the books, you will not find it. You can listen as many lectures as you want. You will not find it unless and until you go backwards and inwards. Swami Ramkrishna says, lecture to yourself, not to others. Wanted reformers, not of others, but of themselves. You need reforming within. They're trying to set the world right. First set yourself right, then the world will be fine. Let's conclude.
Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva बुद्ध्यात्मनावान् प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि अध्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.
हरि ओम.
हरि ओम गुरुजी.